the meeting to order if we could all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mrs. Hagenbusch, if you could call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Present.
Mr. Knight?
Present.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Lovell?
Present.
Item two, public participation. We have nobody that signed up. Does anybody wish to speak? Seeing none. Item three, agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Item four, board business committee reports. Finance, we haven't met. Stephanie, do you have any updates for finance?
The governor's still working on the budget. We don't have any finalized stuff there yet. We're working with the performance audit. Met with them today. They would like to meet May 8th to finalize that. That will be their final report to us.
Okay.
And then they would like our response letter that day or the next day, but they'll give us some information ahead of time. So May 8th at
5 o'clock.
Five. Thank you. It's a Monday before the committee of the whole.
Okay. So prior to the meeting?
Yep.
Okay. We'll have enough time to go over that.
She seemed to think that was enough time. Yeah.
Louis, do you have anything for?
No.
Policy, Cindy?
No, we have not met since the last
time. Anything? Rob, community?
We haven't met. We need to meet. One thing I was going to ask, though, and this is something maybe we can, with community engagement, when we meet, would you guys want to do, I know we talked about doing like a, would you want to do maybe a different open house with, do you want to incorporate that in with like a meet and greet with Mr. Addis, or? Would that be a good idea to do?
I think so.
The board want to do something like that?
Yeah, because a lot of people didn't get to come see the high school,
okay.
So I think we could do that again.
That's what I thought. It might be a combination. Now, the other thing, would we want to do that before the levy? Would that be a good idea too? Or after? What would be the timing that you guys would think would be good? Yeah, I know. That's what I just don't know. That's what I'm throwing out there, you know, before we meet and kind of try to set something up.
Okay.
Or should we just kind of just shoot for maybe within the school year?
Well, I think maybe we should talk to Mr. Addis and see what his schedule
yeah.
is, because I know as busy as we are at the end of the season, so are you. Maybe you could get us some time dates that
send some dates your way.
Yeah.
Yes, that you would be available because
for sure.
I'm sure you're quite busy too being a principal.
Well,
so now we have a
we'll introduce him.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
Well, since Mr. Addis is here, we would like to introduce our next superintendent. Mr. Dana Addis is in the audience this evening, so if you'd certainly like to say something or introduce yourself, you're certainly welcome to do so. So.
Tonight I'm here just to listen.
Okay.
Nothing like
thank
putting you on the spot.
I know.
Nothing like putting you on the spot.
No, that's fine. I just want to thank everyone. Everyone's been fantastic so far, and working with Mr. Dunn on the transition has been great. And the board and many of the administrators. So obviously, I'm excited to come and continue some of the great traditions of Norton School. So thank you.
And what actually, since I've got a lot of questions about your trip, could you just explain just a brief synopsis of what your trip was about? Because I think that was neat.
Yeah, we have an intercultural program at my current school, and we just took three groups of students, one to Spain, one to France, and one to China. I didn't go to all three. I was able to go to Spain this time. So 48 total kids to three different countries. And the kids, all three schools came to our building in the fall on the same exact two-week time period. So we had Academic World Summit is what we called it. And then the kids got to return the favor and go live in the homes of the students who were in our country in October. So. They got to experience life. So I was in Tenerife, Spain, which is an island off the coast of Africa. It's where our sister school is. Magnificent educational experience. Our kids were amazed. School's different, much different than American school. So for our kids to be able to experience that and see what they have here, and then for us to learn what they do, it's been a great experience. We're in our sixth year of the program, so a little bit about the trip.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry to catch you off guard.
That's okay.
Jennifer, did you have anything with community engagement or no?
No, I'm all on board. I mean, whenever you want to meet, just send me some dates and we can work something out.
All right. Well, I'll get Dana. We need to get together on some dates too then, and we'll go from there.
Instruction technology, Jennifer?
We have met. A couple things that we've been talking about, and I'll try to summarize. I want to talk mostly about career tech, but I don't want to leave out some of the things that we've talked about with Angie and Eric and Sharon. Sharon, I know, has applied for a GAR grant of $15,000 for a STEAM room, which consists of STEM and art for the preschool program, which, you know, STEAM room, I think of sauna and things like that, but that's not what this is. And Eric, if you want to add anything to it?
It's a combination of our, what would eventually be our STEM program at the middle school. It's also a time. It would be like a space within the building that teachers could take classes at times throughout the day. So it would be a, I don't want to say it's an additional special, but it would be another self-discovery space for those kids. Because of room size at primary, to have those gross motor and like all of those activities, can't always put all that stuff in the room and then put tables and chairs, and so it just, it gives us another opportunity for exploration for that age group. So hopefully
that will work out, that gets awarded. Also, she has looked at textbooks for 7 courses. These are new textbooks, which, you know, it's always great when we're updating our textbooks. Eric, I know we talked about the preschool, that we have 3 full classrooms at this time, and we're probably going to add one more as we go along, which that increases costs in terms of busing, breakfast, and lunch, and an increased pay for staffing that we have to consider. Is there anything else that you wanted to add for that? Okay. And then Angie, I mean, we've talked about the help that she needs with technology, with, you know, all the new technology that we've added, with not just with the new high school, but other things that we are doing to keep our students current with technology, and you just can't get to all of it. And also, she's having a hard time with staff development, with training our staff, especially now with textbooks. It's also coming with a computer component, so it's tough.
Everything we do in school touches tech anymore. For 2 people.
Yeah. Did you want to add anything about the girl coders?
Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, we have the Farallon Geek Squad manager, who is a female. She's coming to speak to the girls. And then the following week, we have a grandparent who, through the Facebook posting, when we were looking for someone that was in programming and such, she's worked at various locations. She's going to come in and talk to the girls just to have more experiences with women that are in the career field, and let them ask any questions that they have. We have t-shirts on order also through the grant, and we have Chromebooks prepped for them and ready for them to use, so that they could, maybe we could sit on a picnic table and they could code outside or somewhere else in the building, so they're not just sitting in a lab. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. So I wanted to talk about career tech, and I've been on instruction technology for a number of years. I'm not really quite sure how many times I've been on that committee, but a number of years ago, I was talking with some of the staff at the high school, and I'm giving you this background as a reason why I've been kind of looking towards adding different career tech programs. And when I hear, you know, stories from staff members saying that, you know, we have girls graduating from our high school, and I know this isn't just unique to Norton High School, but saying that they feel that, you know, their only option is to have children upon graduation, I think we're doing a disservice to these young girls graduating. So that being said, this is the reason why we did this survey, to see what other programs we could add to Career Tech, what other programs we could add that would help young girls, you know, with other options upon graduation. So we did the survey. The survey came back, and our number one choice was animal care. I mean, that by far over any of the others. The other two were cybersecurity and biomedical. So we've met a number of times with Roger Wright, who's the director of the Four Cities Compact. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is before we go any further, I think as a board, we need to come to some sort of consensus as to what direction we want to take this program. So if we're looking at biomedical, I mean, that's your students up here. That's not the students that I thought we were trying to target. And if we're looking at cybersecurity, again, that's your students that are higher level students. Another option that was thrown out there was HVAC. Now, it does have a higher cost with it, but again, and I'm in my mind, that's not the students that I thought we were trying to target. So before we meet with Roger Wright again, I think as a board, we need to talk about what direction we're going with this. Animal management is something that could be done on the other half of our masonry building. There's a number of positions that are available through Ohio Means Jobs. I mean, there's a lot of jobs. The highest qualifying job or most technical job is a vet tech, and it is a very in-demand position. I think maximum salary is in the range of around $50,000, which I think that's a great salary. You can get certification in the program. There's a lot of things that we need to look into further. I mean, there are some insurance issues, but it doesn't seem to be, at least in speaking with Roger Wright, that that's a very costly thing. So if I don't want to waste Roger's time, and I don't want to waste anybody on the committee's time, but if that's the direction we're going, then I would like to get, I guess, a feel from the board that that's the direction that we want to head. With the other ones, cybersecurity, yes, we have looked into it. We also have a criminal science program, so it's somewhat similar to that. There's a Akron U has a program already set up. It would be about 3 days a week. It would be distance learning. Cuyahoga Falls already has a full-time teacher. They're doing it. It's about a Monday, Wednesday, Friday program. Biomedical, Woodridge is currently doing it, but they only have 9 students in the program. And I'm sure the reason for that is it's a tough, rigorous program. It's basically medical and engineering design type work. It has about a $200,000 in equipment costs to establish it. And then, of course, HVAC, it's got about $100,000 to $200,000 to get that up and going. The biggest obstacle with that, it seems to be, is finding someone who has a teaching certificate and is also has experience and knowledge can actually teach the program. So I started this because I wanted to find something for our young girls. I think animal care is, or animal management is something that we could fill. And that is a consideration that when we add these programs, we want to be able to fill them. So I'm opening it up for discussion before we go any farther with Roger Wright.
Do you know you had numbers to get the other program started? How much?
He has not gotten back with us on that. I thought before we, you know, because he's been out to Medina. He's seen Medina has a great program. I'm sorry?
They have two, don't they?
I'm not sure if they have two.
Medina has it in Wayne County.
Oh, and Wayne. Well, he's more familiar with Medina's program, and he didn't give me a cost yet, but we thought that we kind of needed to have some discussion before we go any further. It didn't sound like it was that costly in terms of what he was saying. Did you get that impression?
No.
I mean, it would require doing some work to the other half of the masonry building and getting that set up, but it's, you know, you have
some
basins for, you know, bathing the animals.
Yeah.
What kind of person would fill this position? What kind of teacher?
We didn't really get into that very much.
No, he's got a follow-up. He indicated that he would follow up with the teacher in Medina to get that information for us.
Because, like you said, with the other, we need to have somebody that's able to fill that position.
The other thing on the committee also, which was interesting, because me and Jennifer has talked about this, the other thing that was interesting is, you know, we saw that vacancy in the high school where the new high school where the gym or the
weight room
is. And we talked about even with the cybersecurity, and I know we talked about even possibly doing two, because the cybersecurity we could get, yeah. Basically, wasn't there a person from Akron you was going to do this? So the cost on that was very low.
It would
also
be distance learning,
yeah.
Yes. It would be administered by an Akron U professor 3 days a week. I believe it's a two-hour program. You get college credits only, and there are certifications available.
I personally, being involved with this with Jennifer this year, I mean, I think the vet tech's a good thing, and I would support that absolutely. I think it's a good way
Thank
to
you,
go.
Ma'am.
I my interest is we can still fill that other thing if we could. We talked about that, and if we could, what other thing we could do in there would be interesting. You know, I know that he said that cybersecurity was a really upcoming kind of thing to get into. The way he says mm-hmm. statistically is like that's going to be a big thing in the next coming 5, 10, 20 years, I mean.
His only question with that is we already have a criminal science program,
yeah.
And he wanted to make sure that it wouldn't pull students
yes.
from criminal science away from an existing program.
And I was a big supporter, obviously, of the HVAC, but there is a cost to that. He said roughly maybe $100,000, and that's,
yeah.
He said they might be able to get some donations to get the cost down, so. But Jennifer is right, we are kind of at a sticking point unless we get some feedback from the rest of you guys, what you guys feel is the direction we should go.
What's a full class on that?
About 25 students. And I mean, the results of the survey, it was overwhelming for animal science.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I have that with me.
I know you went into it for the females, but were there males? Our male students, were any of them interested in it, or?
Well, you know, it just, the survey didn't,
ask
male, female. I have it here, I don't recall. No, it just asked what district and what grade student you were. It didn't ask male, female.
What is the certificate? Is it a vet tech certificate? Is that the certificate?
You can go on to get a vet tech certificate. You could become, you know, you could work, you know, like PetSmart, Petco, those types of things. I mean, those are, you know, $10 to $15 an hour positions, work in a kennel, you know.
And a veterinarian, basically, you know.
Yeah.
Taking the dogs in and out and just
yeah.
being.
I think it's a great program. I really
yeah.
do. And I think the interest in it is huge. So.
The other thing that was kind of interesting, and I thought was interesting, is that you can also get into, if they like that, they can get into even doing like horses and stuff like that and bigger animals. But we weren't going to do that. But there's
yeah.
that opportunity that if they get into that program, and they want to go on to maybe, you know, be a vet tech with like bigger animals, that would be an option too.
Right.
To kind of just like introduce them to it to see if that's what they want to do.
Do the other schools offer, like through that program, you said Wayne and Medina, do they work with like local veterinarians to like place these kids, or what, I guess what, I'm just trying to figure out how we can incorporate local business in that field. How would it help them, or do you not know? I may be asking, I'm
no,
sorry.
I'm no,
saying,
I...
We didn't really get into that
No,
discussion.
We didn't get into that. We kind of were like, okay, we need to make a decision as to what direction we're
yeah.
going to go before we keep asking Roger to look into
yeah.
this, to look into that.
I will say one of the things that Roger has done well since he's been director is work with local businesses
sure.
to make those connections regardless of what career tech program it is. So
yeah.
I would think that that would be an inherent part of the program.
When would this start? This would it be this fall, or we'd have to wait for like another year?
Well, a lot of it depends probably on May 2nd, because that would be money that would go into remodeling part of the masonry building.
And the other thing that plays into that is we've gone through the sign-up phase for the career tech.
Right. So.
Already for next year,
okay.
and numbers are
yeah.
really good. So my guess would be that when we start looking at adding career tech programs, you would want to do all the preliminary and setup work so that it would be
yeah.
for the following year.
Fall
that
18.
Would be my guess.
Okay.
And the masonry is the best spot for it, is what you guys figured out?
And the reason being is that you have the public and animals away from the rest of the students.
Dogs barking.
Allergies, noise, yes.
And it would be a total separate unit, and they would set up like a, almost like a veterinarian hospital.
Yeah.
The other thing that played into that was just the logistics of dropping off and picking up. And although the room that we had talked about in the new school has an access to the outside, that's not really a road, that's an emergency access that goes behind the building. So that would be certainly a difficult.
One of the things, I'm sorry, David.
That's okay.
One of the things I was interested in, or I raised the question, was insurance, because of, you know, kids getting, you know, possibly bit and stuff like that. And he kind of said it's equivalent to the kids in carpentry hitting their finger with a hammer. I mean, when you go into that, you're kind of
umbrella.
You kind of, right, Jennifer? I mean,
yeah,
you're kind of,
yeah,
you're kind of like,
you assume the risk.
Yes, yeah. So I mean, that was a concern I had. I asked him about, but
is it a 2-year or a 1-year program?
It's a 2-year. So do we
I think
want-
it's a good idea. I mean, I just. The hope, it sounds like, did all the research, and I mean, hopefully.
It would definitely attract a group of kids that we're not really servicing. I mean, this gives them a different opportunity, boys and girls. You know, it's a neat,
right.
You know.
And the class, what did you say, 25?
25.
Roughly 25 students. I mean, the majority of the responses to this survey came from Norton students, so.
Mm-hmm. Overwhelmingly.
I was just going to say that I would think that this would be a direct benefit to our students. Were you going to say something, Barb?
Yes. Mr. Wright took Rod Rao and myself to a conference recently, and they were speaking towards manufacturing. And the manufacturing is really picking up here in the local industries. Rod just got a grant for a 3D printer, so we've been using, my students go to his math course, and they're seeing how this can make projects. So then when we went to this conference, they're coming up with all kinds of ideas that they'd like to articulate to the schools, maybe not for next year. I don't know, Rod, what was your feel? There's money out there. There are companies that are looking for, they don't want a senior necessarily. Women are in manufacturing. I mean, some of my best employers, I have Myers Industry, that's a plastics manufacturing company. A lot of women like that, you know, it doesn't mouth off, it doesn't talk back, there's not so much.
What are you saying, Barb?
And then I think Rod had, you know, we had a little kickback, pushback from the kids, but once they saw that 3D printer in operation, that might not be for next year, but that would be another thing in the future that we see industry coming to the school and saying, hey, you know,
people.
I hate to see Norton miss out on this kind
right.
of money.
Well,
what
so
was
Roger
that
was
program?
Do you remember?
It was a conference called the Align Conference, and it was put together by this association called the Align Group. And again, it was a really interesting conference because we had manufacturing from Summit County. We had a lot of presidents, vice presidents, owners of any type of manufacturing. We had educators from secondary to post-secondary there, and we also had had business or our community leaders there. And it was all about, you know, these are good paying jobs. These are not living in your mama's basement types of jobs. This is your living wage. And you know, we want to steer these kids into these kinds of pathways because it might start off as factory work, but you can very quickly accelerate through. And companies, after the 2007 financial collapse, companies were looking for employees that had these massive skill sets, and those people don't exist. So now the industry has changed it. Now we just need people with the capacity to learn, and we will train them. So if you can get in on the ground floor, doing some sort of factory work, and then show some initiative, show some learning capabilities, they will pay for training. They will train you to do machine work, to management work. Programming.
I was going to say programming is big.
Yeah.
Post magazine this week has this article, our competition, the Medina County Career Center, and over 12.5 million Americans earn $61,200, and you know what, this is beating some of our college grads that are still paying back hundreds of thousands of college debt and have no job in the field. It's coming, and so this was a new thing we just recently got turned on to, that it's sounding like there's going to be money out there if we can somehow get the connections going, you know, again, the different math science programs to feed in. And we may not even need a facility because the local businesses that we have, we're going on this field trip to Clamco
and Wadsworth. I partnered with them through a career counseling grant with Roger and Four Cities Compact. That's where the money for the 3D printer came from. I partnered with them last year just to talk about, hey, there's this company in Wadsworth, they make clamps. You can start $10 an hour, and if you have some initiative, you can work your way through. And one girl became a CNC programmer. So there's a lot of potential out there. And as an academic math teacher, I get frustrated because these kids are coming out of high school, even guys, with not any particular skill base. They have a general education, but they don't really have any marketable skills. And so I'm glad to hear the board discussing different types of vocational programs interested in. And I would throw it out there, I think the HVAC, at least for the guys, is a phenomenal program. Yeah. One of my students' fathers is an HVAC repairman, and he probably makes more than I do.
Yeah.
And I would throw it out to the board. If you're having trouble finding a teacher, train me.
Yeah.
I'll teach you.
Well, I was going to bring up after, I think Jennifer has done a great job putting as much effort into this because she's really taken an approach to this and working hard at it. So I thank you very much for that because it's a tough subject. And after much discussion, as much has been in the paper, actually, I got a call and I told him to reach out to you and Rob, since you're on that committee, Mr. Couch. And he runs the HVAC program, and he said he'd be willing to come over and help us. And he'd actually donate some materials, help in any way he can, because he said he can't get the students out fast enough. He said it's a phenomenal program. He said that he said they always throw numbers high, and I don't want to misquote him in any way, of the cost of getting the program, but he said it's a program that he believes in. He's been doing it. I can't even tell you how long he said he's been doing the program, but he can't even get the students out fast enough. That's how fast they're hiring them. And I know that my private sector job, we still can't hire somebody. We're building a store down in Canton, and we still can't get enough people to fill that job. So I know it's there, but Mr. Couch, I have his cell phone. He gave it to me. And he's willing to come work with us and help us in any way. He offered that. So I told him that he would need to talk to you. And
I'm
Rob.
Sorry, who is he with?
Mr. Couch, I believe he's with Medina. He's local, but he called me.
You mean like Medina Schools or?
He's a career, yeah. And he called me when he saw it in the paper, and he said it's a very successful program, but he said that he would do whatever he could to help us. I just wanted to share that with you and Rob.
Yeah, I was really pushing hard for the HVAC personally because I think it is a job where boys and girls can get out and make good money. I mean, it's one of those things, and it is in demand. I have some friends that are in that industry. I think it's one of those things that when you post it on the website, my concern was is that, you know, I don't know if the kids get the gist of what it was, or it doesn't sound glamorous, but it's a really a good career. And like I said in our committee meeting, you know, everybody has heating and cooling in their house and stuff, so it's going to be one of those things where you're constantly going to need service. And but that's something I wish we need to really talk about. I mean, he did get, like I said, he got the cost down to about $100,000, and he said maybe as far as
I had one to 200.
Yeah, maybe one to 200. But anyways, he said that, you know, a lot of it depends on how much equipment they can get donated. He was going to look into those type of avenues.
He said a lot of companies will actually bring in,
then
when they take a lot of housing or commercial settings will let you come in and help with that. But I think having two options is excellent. That's a great idea.
It's an awesome idea for us, I think.
I agree with that, but I guess in terms of space, I mean, right now we only have one half of the masonry building.
And our space at the high school is not big enough for HVAC.
I thought they said the ceiling would be, Mr. Clark.
I'm not sure.
That was my understanding, is that room would work.
That would
really
work,
yeah. Okay.
Because he said that he would keep the ceiling out so that we could get it in there.
So it always comes down to money.
So I guess we're going to have to meet with Roger and to see what the cost, get a better cost of what that program will cost us.
So your guy, what's your guys' feeling then? Is Jennifer and Rob on the right track? I know she's worked really hard on this, but sticking in the right direction here. I agree with her. We got to stay on track here.
The instructor at the Wayne County programs, if you could go, anybody could go and visit in any time too. I think I gave you her contact information.
You did, for the animal care?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Visit the program, talk to her as well.
And I think for Roger Wright, it would be good to just, for the board to be able to narrow the focus and say, you know, we're looking at these two programs or whatever you want to look at, and have him start working on some specifics, especially if you were looking at like the HVAC and the animal care, and you knew that you were looking at not starting this fall but the following fall. Gives him some time to line up some potential businesses to help support it. I know we've had Arconic now, which was a Alcoa in Barberton. Yeah, they've been providing grants for a STEM program, STEAM now, and they have gone around to the districts and the compact and been very helpful with discussing manufacturing jobs and trying to initiate those types of things in the compact. So that would be another place to reach out to.
All right, so I will get with, you know, speak to Roger and tell him that we are interested in looking at the animal care program and HVAC, and I think it is worthwhile to talk to him about, you know, possibly down the road, what you were talking about with the 3D printer, but focus right now on the animal care and the HVAC, and just get some costs, what this looks like, what we need, how much space.
Would our space work?
What was the interest in that? Because you didn't say HVAC.
Which one?
Was the top.
It wasn't a top three.
Was it the fifth?
I thought it was the fourth or fifth.
It was. Yeah, I think it was fourth or fifth. Not one, two. Yeah, I think it was like fifth.
So what were the numbers? I mean, was it?
I don't have.
I think Roger didn't feel like there'd be a hard time filling the class, though. That wasn't an issue, was it?
I think the issue with it was maybe not so much filling it, but getting students to understand what exactly this is.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because I think when they hear the words HVAC, they're like, you know, is that hard labor? Is that, what is that? You know?
Yeah.
That was kind of his impression, was getting them to understand what exactly is involved.
Yeah.
And a lot of ours is just maintenance.
Yeah.
Even though there was a description of the program in the survey, maybe it wasn't descriptive enough. I don't know.
Well, and I think the other thing too is whatever we pick, the animal care seems pretty popular just from like a popular vote. But HVAC, as time goes, I mean, and the word gets out and kids find out, hey, I can get a job or whatever the second one is. If we can prove to them that, hey, this is the step, you know, and I think we whatever we do.
You spend all this money, all this time getting a person, and then you don't have the kids that really want to come into it.
Exactly.
That's where the concern is.
I agree.
That's the worst thing we could do.
Yes.
I agree.
We can't afford to do that. But it's not that I'm against them.
No, I know. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the worst thing we could do is spend all this money at a program and not have students interested in it.
Well, that sounds like that would be a couple of years down, so we'll have some time to figure that out.
So, thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
I just, I'm going to share his name's Kevin Couch. He just texted him. I'm going to share it to you. Operations?
We have not met. We're going to plan on meeting in May, right? At some point, as things get a little further ahead. But with that being said, we talked about earlier, at the levy meeting, it was brought up, and I'm going to pass this over to Jennifer, talk about some potential costs that maybe we're looking at to help. I'll let her speak because I don't want to misspeak.
We are looking at sending out flyers that are informational flyers about the levy. It does not support the levy. It's not negative to the levy. One of the things that we're wondering is if the board is okay with sending it out as a district as an informative piece from the levy. It would, you know, save some costs is the whole purpose behind it.
Did you do your video?
Right.
Jake. I was in his video. Did you talk about that too?
No, that didn't.
Okay. I just to make a decision, I was looking at thinking about that. Sorry.
And I think to explain a little bit better, it's we can do stuff through the school without saying
without,
a vote. So,
without saying
and,
a vote,
and
yes.
You have limited resources on our levy committee as opposed to, not that we have unlimited in the school.
I'll tell you the information that Stephanie shared with me today and we looked at was absolutely very good information, and I would think anybody seeing that is really clarifies where those dollars are spent very well.
And that's one of the biggest...
Exactly.
In the community, people just don't understand.
And maybe we need to everyone see it before it
Do you want to do the flyer, or are you more interested in doing like the postcard and covering the postage, or do you want to give a budget?
I like the postcard.
Yeah, I like the postcard because it was going to go out.
Yeah, I think so. This is what we were... Did you see that?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw it.
I like the postcard.
And then a postcard would be similar to that. Informational only. Nothing that says please vote. Just we put a levy on. Here's what the levy does. Here's the information for it. So
I like the postcard.
Okay.
If everybody's good with that.
A lot of districts do that. Dana, I'm sure you've seen that.
We need to do more of that because I've said 100 times. We do not promote ourselves enough.
We don't, but we just don't want to spend money either.
Well,
so,
know,
you know.
But people need to have information about
the
school.
So postcards. Postcards?
Yeah.
That works well.
I'm fine with it. And then on operations, too, I don't know if now's the time, but did we settle anything from the last update in regards to meeting?
Performing arts manager?
No. For the land, the over on Shellhart. Did we...
I was going to bring that up at the end, but you're
okay.
Welcome.
And my feeling on that, more than happy to meet with people. But if we're going to do that, we need to have everybody at the table from construction to city and everything.
I agree.
Because the perception that the school district in any way did anything wrong is just a false perception. I mean, when we were all done, and Jake can probably speak to this better than I can, but we actually... got the clearance from the Soil and Water
Summit,
and then we went ahead and spent $75,000 additional, approximately, to divert additional water flow from there. So I'm not against working at some sort of solution that might assist further, but it's not the school's responsibility, in my opinion.
I'm in agreement with it. I just wanted to make sure that if we can get it behind us, if you can want to do it.
Yeah, I read this in the paper, and I was just sharing this. It says council blames, and I'm not trying to go back and forth with the city or us, but I went down there and looked at this, and there was only one council member who said something, Ward 3 councilman. And when I went down there and I talked to that individual, there was a culvert that was taken out by the road widening project that collects additional water. So the homeowner there believes it's relevant to that. I don't believe at any time, if you go back and listen to that council meeting, that resident, who is very nice and did not blame the school at all, at any time suggested that the school did any wrongdoing. I believe that was misinterpreted, and that the council, Ward 3 council person, said that and made this comment. So, because of that construction project on Cleveland Masson Road, there was some construction there, that and that culvert was taken out. So, I believe once that construction project moves forward, that drainage will be rectified, and I believe that was the cause of that. So, I went down and personally looked at it. I know that you went down prior to that and looked at some of that drainage. So hopefully.
So what are you, I asked the question of, are we, do we want
to
meet?
Well,
do
I talked to, I and further, so furthermore, I did call Valerie Waxcar, and just like Mr. Dunn suggested, in the future, potentially we'll have a meeting, but she's still looking at some drain tiles that are in the back of the Shellhart Road properties. But they're just now getting ready to start that project.
Okay.
So, and Jake, do you have anything to add? Because I know that you've been working with the construction company.
Yeah, and talking, I mean, I would say from the district standpoint, we've got everything that we can. We have Osmore Engineering, who engineers storm water retention and management plan. It went to some soil water conservation. They approved the initial plan as being adequate. It went to the city. They approved the plan, and we constructed it. And last spring, we had the rain of all rains, and it happened to be before the system was truly installed and doing what it was supposed to do. So in a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction, we said, what can we do to help a little bit more? And that was what Mr. Dunn was talking about. We spent $75,000 to $80,000 to actually collect more water in the northwest part of the property than ever has been collected before. It would basically run on the property and run off. But now we're collecting it and putting it into our stormwater system and slowing it down. So in essence, we've spent money to help them already a little bit rectify the situation. So it's a little frustrating that we're not really sure what we need to do at this point or what they expect. I mean, we've got a plan that's approved by the experts. We're not the experts in this situation.
But I think a future meeting would probably be okay to, so that everybody's on the same page and everybody comes out in agreement that there was communication, that everybody's on the same page, so that one person isn't spewing some negativity out there. So thank you for bringing that up.
That's all I had.
So under superintendent's,
I do have a question under operations. I don't know that we've come to an agreement with rehooking the utilities to the old stadium field.
Well, I went in and Jake said they hadn't heard from anybody, so I assumed that. Okay.
I wanted to know how much it was to hook it back up. I have to get a cost on the water, because really the water's the only thing that won't be hooked back up. Power will be there. Power is there now. That does not come through Cornerstone. So the question is, do we want restroom facilities there? That really, I mean, because the water does come from Cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I have a number for that, because our original number was really just to rehook up utilities to the administration in the bus garage.
So if we don't have restroom facilities, then does that mean that we can't use that field?
No, I would think they would just, I mean, it'd be no different than the baseball field. They can walk up to the middle school and you just have to leave a door open so they could use the restrooms up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The baseball field.
Softball.
Oh. What about outhouses?
I mean, porta potty. Look at that situation of doing some, I mean,
it's seasonal, right? I mean, if you're using the field, you wouldn't have to. I'm just saying, I know it's not the most the most eye-catching, but it's everywhere. You see it. It's,
right,
it's usable.
Exactly. And I mean, that was our field up until, what, a year or 2 years? When did we open? why not continue to use it? I mean, it can be used for middle school, it can be used for a practice field. I mean,
well, can we have events there? I mean, with seating and stuff, since we don't have any bleachers on the Cleveland Maslin side. I mean, is there?
Yeah, the bleachers that are still remain.
The steel.
They're acceptable. They're not the best, obviously, but I mean, so that's really the question. I can get a dollar value there.
Well, and I guess my thought is, I mean, we have the turf field that we need it to last as long as possible. So if we have this field until the other practice fields are ready, I mean, why not use it and keep the turf field free as much as we possibly can? I mean, we still owe money on that field. My opinion, but
what we can do is, they haven't went out to bid yet for the demolition project, which will include rehooking up utilities to the bus garage and administration. I'll have them do an alternate to hook up water to that building as well. So then we can say yes or no, and we'll know exactly how much it is just to keep water.
If you do it that way, Jake, we'll will that fall within the state share of 51% to rehook that back up as part of the demolition?
Correct.
Does that fence come out at all for Cleveland-Madison Road?
The outer fence does, the 6-foot fence does, the 4-foot fence does not.
Okay, so that could be a concern.
Since we're talking about demolition, where are we at on the grill school trying to sell it?
Emailed the attorney today because we had to get a survey of the property to prove
that it's ours.
That it's ours.
Oh, okay. There's 10,000 kids that went through there.
It sounds comical, but the deed or the title literally still had New Franklin Township School on it. So the survey, I actually just got the email today of the survey. Sent it off to Chris Williams, our attorney, to basically ask the question, where do we go now? So,
okay, and the second question I had is, when is Cornerstone slated for demolition?
I don't know, because we haven't went out the bid yet, so I don't know when they're exactly going to do that. Obviously we have to get utilities hooked up to the bus garage administration before they can even begin that. And obviously we need to function. I don't see it happening until fall.
Do we have to demo it, or can we sell it as is?
I thought the demo was part of the plan.
Well, that costs money.
Here's what we ran into when you run into that conversation, is you can sell it as is, but the majority of the people that would buy that are going to demo it. So the fact that we can demo it at 51% state share, it makes it financially more advantageous, probably, to go ahead and demo it, because then anybody who's buying it doesn't have that additional cost.
Well, what's our cost to demo it? What would be our share? How much would the district have to spend?
We would be paying 49% of the cost of the demo.
Grill's like 263, so I would imagine it's close to the same.
That's what I was thinking.
It's close to a million to do both of them.
Yeah. I was remembering about $1 million for the demolition project at Hull, and Grill being more like two-thirds, or Cornerstone two-thirds to about a third of Grill.
A lot of that is abatement.
Correct.
That's why selling Grill makes a lot of sense, because then you avoid that cost.
So somebody could,
the interest we have seen in that property, they're going to tear it down. So basically, if we're going to get X amount of dollars, they're going to want to subtract off whatever it is to do the demo. Where Grill, we kind of feel like if we could sell that, somebody might buy that and never, they don't care about demoing the building. They want the property itself. So we save all that cost of demolition.
Sure.
Because they're not necessarily, they're saying, hey, here's a dollar, we're going to leave the building sit there, so.
Well, while we're on that, that playground over there is pretty new. I know we've talked about playgrounds and stuff, and I can't remember. Can we take that equipment out of there?
We are going to meet with Brady and Wendy, and we kind of discussed, basically in order to find a contractor, I went to three contractors and said, give me a price on just moving Cornerstone, really to help narrow that process down. We are now going to go out and look at the Grill equipment and see what that contractor believes they can move and still be usable or not. So we are looking at that equipment as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Under the stormwater operations, auditorium manager, we have got to discuss that. Mm-hmm. We've been going back and forth about that.
Yeah, we have, and I've shared my thoughts on that a couple times in the update, and I know that there's certainly differing opinions on the board regarding that, but we do need to resolve that so that everyone knows whether or not we're going to add that as a position.
Well, everybody's I had an opinion. Do you just want to poll everybody? I mean, or do we need to?
Well, I mean, have we gotten the answer? I mean, I don't know what the, did I miss the stipend amount?
Oh, yeah, he responded.
I don't know how I missed it, but.
That's fine. I'm trying to remember the exact percentage.
I know you gave a percentage.
But I'll tell you what I used. I used assistant faculty manager stipend that is in our contract as a guideline. And that ended up being about $4,000.
Now that person, what exactly do they do?
The assistant faculty manager, they cover a lot of the sporting events and so forth. They're almost like assistant athletic directors.
So they're opening the building.
Right,
doing,
and all those kinds of things. So, I mean, you can, it was difficult. We don't have a position to really compare to, you know.
No, I think that's good. I think that's a good position.
But I thought that would be a good starting point, and then it could be discussed down the road how much work that is. But I do think the position itself, I mean, you take a look at our performing arts area. Obviously, it's an incredible facility, and the demand on it already is, I think, exceeds original expectations. And I would see that as simply growing from where we're at right now. So I would say, again, as I, and I know I've had it in my updates, it's a position that I think makes sense. I know I've been asked, is there another position that we can reduce to come up with that, those dollars? And there really isn't. You know, when we start looking at our supplementals, there's nothing else that we can reduce or, but I think one of the things, and this is, when you take a look at the transition we've been through from a facility standpoint, there are areas when you do, when you go through a process like we've gone through, that you're going to be able to save money. And we're doing that. And we're not looking at new ways to spend that money. There are also areas, this being one, that I think it makes sense to spend a little. And the balance at the end should still be that you come out saving a little bit of money, but we're going to have more grounds to take care of it, as an example. And we're going to take care of those grounds. We've got the Performing Arts Center that we've never had before. We need to make sure we take care of that as well.
So with this person, if there's an outside group that is going to use the auditorium, would this auditorium manager be required to be there and run the sound, run the lights for them?
I think as you do the job description, that would get ferreted out. Now, I do not necessarily believe that it would be within the job description that that person had to be available for outside groups. Now, if an outside group decides to use it, my feeling is you would go through that and there would be a, whatever the cost to the outside group is, would include a cost for having that person there that evening.
Okay, because I guess, I know that the sound lighting people came in and they spent 3 days. 3 days training somebody on how to use that equipment. So my concern is that, okay, we allow outside groups to use it. I mean, this is not equipment that sounds like it's easy to use. So we want to make sure that we protect that equipment. And then this is a separate issue, but I think we as a board need to come up with a policy for how we're going to determine what outside groups are allowed to use the facility.
And
but that's for another.
We have outside groups right now that put us in a position where we need extra custodial services, those fees are passed on to the outside group. I would see this as being the same kind of situation. If you're having an outside group that is going to dictate the need of having that person available, then there should be an extra cost in them. I think that the $4,000 supplemental is for them to oversee our groups.
Okay. I mean, and I'm not saying, I mean, we want people to use it, but we also want to make sure that everything is taken care of.
And understand, I'm just, you know, sharing my thoughts on the parameters of the position.
Yeah. I think that $4,000 stipend is fine, but I like what you said as far as that person, you talk about policy, that person should be totally responsible for that equipment. And that way there's no I didn't do it. And that way, and I like what you said, Dave, I agree that if these people want to come in and use our facility, part of their thing is they have to pay whatever that wage is to that person, because he is our official person, and that way nobody touches that equipment except that person. Because anytime you let somebody else in there, you're asking for it. It's like loaning somebody a tool and it comes back broken. I didn't do it. Well, somebody did it, you know. Agree?
Having worked with different school districts in auditorium situations, usually the person in charge of the facility or in charge of facilities has a group of people trained to work at, usually students. They have a tech crew at Wadsworth. The Wadsworth manager or facilities manager doesn't have to be at the facility, but that person has trained people well enough that he feels confident that these people know what lights to adjust, how to adjust the sound and such. So that faculty manager has trained people that if an outside group comes in and they need sound or they need lights, it is that group's responsibility to pay these additional people, not necessarily the faculty manager, or not necessarily the facilities manager.
Well, that's smart. You can't just have one person because...
But in essence, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, but still the in-house person shoulders the responsibility.
That's the person overseeing everything. Right. Correct.
The buck stops with that person.
Right. Again.
This is thousands and thousands of dollars of equipment. We cannot afford to just let, you know, set hundreds. Yeah, I know. I didn't want to say hundreds of thousands. I know.
I was going to say
hundreds, but I thought, well, maybe I'm, We just can't afford to, you know, we have to take care of it like everything else that we have.
So why don't you, are you going to, my concern, I don't want to spend any money. I mean, that's just me, but.
I understand that.
You know, we got obviously two levies this year. So obviously, I mean, is this something that you, or you're going to create and then just put it out there for an applicant?
I was going to put it on the board agenda for approval as a position, and then you'd post it.
Well.
It's a stipend.
Correct. Yeah, it's an additional supplemental position that we don't have as a district, so the board needs to create that first, and then we post it.
Yeah, you know, I'm the cheapest one here, let's put it that way, but you can't.
I beg to differ.
You're coming close.
Rob. I'm cheaper with other people, okay? I'm not cheaper with my own, but I'm cheaper with other people's money. We built a $3 million facility. We can't not take care of it. And, you know, there's always going to be some expense. And we just, you know, it's not like the faculty manager where, oh, let's go turn lights on in the gym. You know what I mean? This is a lot more technical than.
Well, it's kind of like an insurance policy because, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, and it's expense, but if something's damaged, that money can go real fast. So.
That's what I'm saying. Why wasn't this thought of? Why are we thinking about it now, when, like Cindy said, it's like an afterthought. Why is it?
No, it's not an afterthought. It's open. Why would we think about?
I mean, we should have been developing.
And I mentioned it early on, and it was kind of dismissed as something that the board didn't want to do. So I did mention it. I know, probably back in February. And there seems to be some renewed interest, and so I brought it back up again because I do think it's an important piece to operating that performing arts area long term.
How many events? How many events do we project? I mean, normally, I know we've never had it, so it's
and
tough.
And that's what's so difficult.
But I just wonder, and you know, if we're talking about having somebody, and listen, I'm not opposed to it, but if we're talking about somebody training students or something as an option, because I agree, you can't just have one person. We don't just have, we always have an athletic director and assistant, in essence, you know, to cover the games. But I guess if we have four plays a year, you know, or four musical plays a year, and you have a couple events like within the school, is $4,000 extreme? I guess that's all I'm asking.
See, here's what's going to have to be evaluated over a period of time with that.
Right.
Because I think typically when we thought of a performing arts area like we have, we thought of the plays the band performances, the choir performances, the things that we've always done. As that facility became available immediately, we had a large group. We heard Mrs. Gerber talk about having the library and the author, and that was all done in the performing arts area. We have Grill doing a celebration in the performing arts area. So it's hard to put a number on that. I think people are going to be looking at ways to utilize that facility because of what it offers. I mean, I would think that as we move forward, there will be tremendous opportunity for professional development in there. I would think that the district would do the kickoff to the school year in that facility that we've never had before. So, and I don't think we know how much it'll be used. Best way to answer that question is about 2 years from now, look back and see what's wrong.
Let me ask you this, though, and I don't know the answer to this question, so I'm asking it. If an outside person would use that facility, could some of that cost go towards that person's stipend? Is that could you do that, or is that you
should? As far as I'm concerned, the $4,000, the supplemental that I was creating was pretty minimal, so I would have considered that in my mind as taking care of internal groups, external groups as they pay extra go to them as well. I don't think, because you don't know how many external groups, you know, how many times might there be a play. If certainly, let's say for instance, that the Loyal Oak players want to use it for a play. That in and of itself is going to be a significant cost if you want to have somebody on site handling all those things. And to incorporate what we would charge them for that into the $4,000, I think would be unfair to the person that we expect to handle that. I mean, there's just too much.
Is this in addition to the technical theater person that we pay now?
You know, I'm not sure whether it would be a supplement to that or not. That's a good question.
What's that? What are you talking about?
We have a stipend that we pay for, I think that's called technical theater manager. Yeah. You used to do that, right?
Yes.
That's what's at this building, when it was at this building. When this building was the high school, that's what that person did, was run the lights and stuff.
Right.
The place that are here, which potentially the middle school may now have that same need. I don't know.
How much is that?
I don't remember what that stipend is. I'd have to look.
It was a pittance.
What'd you say, Tracy? Like 2%?
Rob and Cindy were both saying, we have hundreds of thousands of dollars in equipment, just sound and light alone. And if an additional $4,000 from the school's budget will help maintain that equipment, you know, if one thing goes wrong, you know, we're talking probably $10,000 just to repair a soundboard.
Well, you were just going where I was going. Is that insured? That's where I was just going to ask
it
that.
It's under warranty right now. Right. If it's user error, after the 1 or 2 year warranty, if it's user error, it's higher cost.
I don't think you can even look at that because we're all human.
Yeah.
No, that scares me. Whether you have a stipend,
everybody
starts
talking.
Be something.
Yeah, I was asking.
I mean, you can't. It's either you spend money or you don't. It's $4,000. I hate to say it like that. But
I know, but getting back on what Stephanie said, it sounds like we're paying a stipend for this building that might be going away.
Well, that's another
question then.
But that was. That position is simply for the play productions.
But that won't no longer probably be here, be at the new facility.
But the middle school's doing plays.
But they're going to do them.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they do them at the new facility, though? Why would they do them here, though, I wonder? Why not do them at the new facility?
Probably depends on timing.
Yeah, just do them at different times.
Well, I'm wondering, I'd like to see what the assistant athletic director and athletic, there's a lot of money going on here, but Dan has.
So we have an auditorium manager.
Yeah.
The stipend is an hourly, which I think the central office would say that they would like to restructure that and make it a stipend. But we have about 100,
150 events in there per year.
Wow.
It's busy. And like Mr. Dunn's talking about, that's all you're going to get, some dance studios. I've been in the auditorium. It's fantastic. And as people, more people come into it, you're going to get, garner some interest. And what you do is just work with other places to decide how much external costs are going to cost. And you make a fair price for people. But at the same time, you know, if you put the money at the right place, you're guaranteeing that you're taking care of your facility, which is priority number one. And so you've talked about a number of things that are already in place in our building, including, you know, Pat talked about students. Our students run our events during the days. So if we have the guidance office who's presenting something, there'll be two students who are in there making sure the microphone's set and the board, and that those are free. That doesn't cost the district anything. Our students, now if our students will work another event, then they will get paid, but it's always by the external company. So, but it's a busy place, and we'll find the auditorium here amping up, not only internally, but externally.
Jake, you had a point.
Well, I've already got it because last year I developed the kind of newer fee schedule for everything, so I had pulled a bunch of districts, and those that had auditoriums had fee structures on there. So I kind of pulled that to just get that hourly rate. You know, we've got the two different kind of scales. You know, obviously it's free for our people, and then Norton community members using it will have a scale for, and then outside. But what we won't tier is, once, if this position gets brought in, when that person gets their team trained and kind of figures out, hey, I need six people to properly run this type of event, we can figure out an hourly rate for six people and publicize it to the, they'll know exactly that if the Loyola group is going to come in and do a play, and we need six people in there, they're going to know that if they're in there for X hours, here's the hourly rate for the facility, and here's the hourly rate for the people. And we would just charge that right back out to them.
I want to say something real quick, and it's kind of along the subject, it's off the subject, but Stephanie, about the play situation at the middle school. You know, when you're a kid, and I remember when I was a kid, and you're in, you know, elementary school and middle school, when you get to go and play under the lights, that's like a big deal. And I think that we'd be making a mistake to have our elementary school, if they're doing a play, or middle school, do it here when we have such an awesome facility. I think it would build so much excitement that they're in like a real auditorium. I think that if we're doing that, I think we need to relook at that. I think it's...
Well, that's not my call.
No, I know. I'm just talking.
Don't look at me.
You brought it up.
I'm just saying it's something that I think that... If you want that to grow, which we do, I think that you got to build excitement at the lower levels.
And I'm sure it has excitement. A lot to do with timing. And I know the middle school had a play recently, didn't they?
They had a talent show.
Okay, the talent show. But the high school, because somebody asked me about that, and I think the high school was having play practice at the time. Well, you don't want to displace the high schoolers so that the middle schoolers. So it's a lot of it is timing.
If we could do the scheduling, I think it would be a good thing to do. This is my opinion.
And I think major productions will move to that.
I'm good.
Let's just let Mr. Dunn put it on his recommendation, vote the way you want. Mm-hmm.
One thing, though, real quick, is I think that we need to, and this is, Stephanie brought this up, and you kind of like sparked my interest with this, but I think we need to look at, like, is there anything else we're doing like that, that we're kind of like going off the old ways be changed?
We can take a look at that in finance.
Yeah, we need to look at all that stuff and see if there's other things that don't apply anymore, you know, with the moves going on.
Mm-hmm.
That would free up things.
And we do that, and I really don't think that there are. But I will double check. I mean, when it comes to our list of supplementals, for a district this size, we're pretty lean. But I will look at that.
We actually took a look at supplementals our last finance. We went through all those, so.
Mr. Inks had a question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of Mr. Addis over there. We got a lot of talk here. Before we reinvent the wheel, we have communities right around us that have the same problem we have. Waterford has two auditoriums in their facility. I mean, they have a new auditorium, they have the old O.J. Kirk auditorium. They've been doing this for years. Why don't we put a phone call to one of them to find out exactly how they handle it? how many events they have a year. They're going to tell you, hey, when we first built our auditorium, we had 20. Now we have 50. We have 150. They're going to tell you how it goes. I mean, I know we're not the same, but there's people who have done this already.
Right.
You know, they're probably set the groundwork already that, that we don't need to figure out in the next 2 years. Fee structures, how many people take.
Put on the agenda.
Superintendent's recommendations?
Nothing additional, thank you.
Item 6, executive session. Can I have a motion to enter into an executive session to discuss the employment of personnel?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Understood. Our second vote. Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
We'll call the meeting back to order at 8:28.
Thank you.
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Yep.